May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, a Church of England newspaper carried out a survey of the 100 best Christian books ever written. And the book which came in number one, written in Latin over 1600 years ago by a bishop in North Africa called Augustine, is entitled The Confessions. Well, that sounds rather like a list of crimes or sins. And certainly Augustine does mention various sins, including a memorable early example when, as a boy, he and a group of friends raided a neighbor's garden to steal pears. With typical honesty and insight, Augustine recalls that the pears tasted terrible. He stole them not to eat them, but just to get a kick out of doing what was forbidden. But confessions, in the title of Augustine's book, means more than acknowledging sins. It means confessing the Christian faith and praising God. Augustine addresses the whole of the confessions to God as a kind of long prayer, taking in autobiographical reflection on the way to a deepened understanding of the meaning of his life in the light of God and the Christian faith. If you haven't read Augustine's Confessions, why not give it a try? As with any book written 1600 years ago, there are bits that are hard to relate to, so occasional skipping may be called for, but there is also much that is very fresh, speaking powerfully across the centuries. Perhaps if some of you are interested, we could arrange a book club, maybe discussing this great bestseller, the best of the 100 best Christian books ever written, over a few months. But why mention Augustine and his confessions today? Well, two reasons. Firstly, just a few days ago, I was in Milan and visited its cathedral, which reminded me of the decisive importance of this city of Milan in Augustine's story. His conversion to Christianity in Milan in his early 30s came after years of wandering through various faiths and philosophies. And a major influence on him, encouraging him towards faith in Jesus Christ, was the preaching of the then Bishop of Milan, Ambrose. And Augustine describes, as he came more and more under the influence of this Christian preaching, he felt more and more drawn to the light of Christ, but at the same time his heart was in turmoil, pulled this way and that. He was particularly aware of the changes in his life that faith in Christ would mean for him in terms of sexual morality, which was a significant challenge for this particular young man. And one day, in a garden in Milan, it all comes to a head. At a moment of despair, Augustine mysteriously hears a child singing, "Pick it up and read, pick it up and read." So he picks up what he was reading, and his eyes fall on words from Paul's letter to the Romans, telling us to leave behind our old life and to put on or clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Augustine writes, "I neither wished nor needed to read further. It was as if a light of relief from all anxiety flooded into my heart. All the shadows of doubt were dispelled." Augustine's conversion in Milan, vividly described in his Confessions. The second reason I'm speaking of Augustine today is that the collect or special prayer for this Sunday is pure Augustine. It's a collage of words and themes from his writings. And it's printed at the beginning of the sheet of prayers, readings, and songs. And it runs as follows. "Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Let me mention three themes drawn from this prayer inspired by St. Augustine, all very, very relevant for what it still means to be a Christian today. First, the problem, the restlessness of the human heart. Second, the solution, the pouring of God's love into our hearts. Third, the destination, the heavenly city, where we shall see God face to face. So first then, Augustine is the patron saint, the spiritual doctor of the restless heart. Today's collect includes perhaps his most famous words. In the very first paragraph of the Confessions, Augustine prays to God as follows: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you." Augustine was speaking from experience. This restlessness of heart affected Augustine at different levels. His mind was restless as he looked for the truth, the meaning of life, searching for it everywhere in different religions and philosophies, but the truth always seemed to elude him. But his restlessness was not just intellectual. His heart also was restless as he looked for satisfaction in all the usual places: sex, friendships, a brilliant career. As he looks back on his earlier life, writing his Confessions now, Augustine sees he was making a huge mistake. We all have within us a God-shaped vacuum which only God can fill, but we diagnose ourselves wrongly and we mistakenly try to fill that vacuum, to satisfy that fundamental need, with things other than God. We are surrounded by good things, the gifts of God, our Creator, and other people are the greatest of all those good gifts. But we take our eyes off God and grab after God's gifts, thinking they will give us the wholeness, the contentment that in the end only God can give. But they cannot do that. Nobody, nothing can satisfy the yearning within us that only God can satisfy. Despite our best attempts, we cannot find the truth that makes ultimate sense of our lives and the realities around us. And Augustine writes of these things with a freshness and an honesty that still speaks powerfully to us today, laying bare our restlessness, our incompleteness, our confusion. But thankfully, Augustine does not leave us there in despair. In fact, the way Augustine expresses the problem already points to the solution. He says to God, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." So, turning to the second theme of today's collect, the solution to the human problem, the healing of the restless human heart, gets underway as we realize that we were made by God and for relationship with God. That's a very important truth for us to recognize. But thankfully, the God Augustine speaks of doesn't leave it to us to find our way to him. The God made known to us in Jesus Christ reaches out to us, comes to us, takes the initiative in stilling and healing our restless, wounded hearts. In another famous passage in the Confessions, Augustine addresses God, saying, "You called and shouted. You broke through my deafness. You flamed and shone and banished my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me, and I drew in my breath, and I pant for you. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You have touched me, and I have burned for your peace." Hear all those words Augustine uses for how God takes the initiative towards us. God calls and shouts, breaks through our deafness. God flames and shines. God breathes on us, touches us. That was Augustine's experience. It can be our experience too. Now, earlier I mentioned in telling of Augustine's conversion that day in a garden in Milan, how words from Paul's letter to the Romans played a key role in turning him to Christ. And that letter, Paul's letter to the Romans, continued to be very important for Augustine for the rest of his life. Another text from Romans that he quotes very often says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And today's collect nods to how dear this verse was for Augustine by turning it into a prayer. Pour your love, O God, into our hearts. That is what will bring peace to our restless hearts, the pouring of God's love into our hearts. In the end, only God can do this, but we can pray for it, desire it, turning our hearts and minds to God and asking regularly to be filled with God's love. We have been created both to receive God's love, to know that we are loved by God, but also to love the God who loves us. Now, Augustine knew well, both in his own experience and from the words of the Bible, that we love God because God first loved us. He knew that God's love for us comes first, our love for God follows. But interestingly, surprisingly perhaps, Augustine tends in his writing to refer much more to our call to love God than to God's love for us. And here's something we might find strange. When Augustine refers to Paul's words, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Augustine takes those words, love of God, as meaning not God's love for us, but rather our love for God, our love towards God. And again, this rises partly from experience. Augustine's experience and conviction led him to emphasize in his teaching that the work of God's Spirit in us turns our hearts outwards from preoccupation with ourself in love towards God. And this is so important for Augustine because what he sees as being fundamentally wrong with us is the disordered way we love. The problem with us is not that we do not love, but that we love in the wrong way. Our loves are disordered, chaotic. That's what screws us up, makes our hearts so confused and restless. And Augustine's prayer for himself, a prayer we can echo for ourselves, is that God will bring order to our love. That means loving God, the source of all things, above all things, as Jesus commanded us to do, and loving everyone and everything else in the light of God and in proper relationship to God. If we love God above all things, we will learn to love everyone and everything else as we should. Coming back to today's collect, first, we acknowledge to God our problem. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Second, we take up words of St. Paul, dear to Augustine, turning to God for what will heal our restlessness, praying, pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, remembering with Augustine that the Holy Spirit will both make us aware of God's love for us and also awaken in us the love for God that will be the key to ordering our love for everyone and everything else. But thirdly and finally, today's collect continues. So bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. And this final theme in today's collect again echoes Augustine unmistakably. For Augustine, we can, in this life, have true knowledge, true experience of God, but our present knowledge, our present experience of God, are incomplete, only a foretaste of what is to come. And yes, Augustine would say, we as Christians should seek the peace and the welfare of this world, because it is God's good world. But we know, just as Augustine did in his day, with the Roman Empire collapsing around him, that the perfect peace and blessedness for which we long will never be attained in this life, in this world. But God has promised us through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that the city of God will come. As Christians, we are called to live purposefully as good citizens of this world, but with our hearts, our hopes set on the world to come, the city of eternal peace and joy. In this world, the Christian is homesick for heaven. Now, to put it mildly, that is a perspective which it is very hard to maintain, because modern Western society has more or less excluded from its reckoning any reality beyond what it believes we can observe and verify in this life. So the best that the modern world seems to be able to commend to us seems to be the maximizing of comfort and of exciting experiences in this life before we die. Time is short, we are constantly told, so don't miss out. Here are 501 films you must watch before you die. Here are 501 places you must visit before you die. Here are maybe even 501 relationships you must enjoy before you die. Well, Christians can cheerfully resist this kind of a propaganda for an approach to life that we know will only create in us more and more restlessness and grief, not to mention all the carbon emissions it will involve visiting those 501 places. So as we have prayed today in words inspired by Saint Augustine, we look to God, who alone can give peace to our restless hearts. We thank God for the outpouring in our hearts through the Holy Spirit of the gift of love. God's love for us, prompting in us love for God above all things. And while we live in this world with genuine gratitude for all the good gifts that we enjoy, praying and working for its peace and welfare, we keep in our hearts and minds the hope opened up to us by our crucified and risen Lord, looking ahead to the city of God that is to come, where our hearts will finally be at rest and we shall see God face to face. Amen.